Interview with Reverend Louisa, tape 2, side 1. The question is, are there specific people or organizations that have helped you or your family adjust?
There was, well, the church, I was mentioning the Lutheran church, that was the one who called us here, and where we start old relationships. But I remember, for example, I working in Hunting Park Community Development, I felt very much welcome and appreciated. And now, after I left there, they closed. Another thing was United Ways gave us a training for Latino leaders, and it was really, really good when I just moved here.
Okay.
I felt part of this group of people that was larger than what I thought.
Are there experiences or things that have happened in your life in Philadelphia that would not have been possible at home, in either in Chile or Mexico?
Basically, to be a pastor. I went to Bible Institute and with other denominations, but they never considered that women can be leaders, pastors. And this is an opportunity that I believe that it has been given to me, first by my husband, who has been a tremendous support, and then by the church and the seminary and this country. And this is something that is really... And there are other things, you know, that I like. We were talking about this before, but I like, for example, how I don't know how to say this, can be more respected than what I experienced as a child. I think we are more we use here more current understanding of development and so forth. And I believe I appreciate that very much.
What are your aspirations at this point for yourself and your family?
You know, the first thing I wanted for my children is to be happy. That's my... Before they were born, I thought I want children who are happy. I would like the opportunity to develop all their potentials. In all directions, you know, artistic, intellectual, and physically, and so forth. But not just for my kids, you know, and here is work together with my professional life, which is bigger than my own family. In some way, what I want in the church is to provide the same opportunities for other kids who have even less opportunities than my own children.
Right.
To get those opportunities to be to reach the maximum of their potential. And I suppose in myself it is the same with myself, you know. There are so many things I would like to learn that I would like to be able to continue learning. I believe the goal of my life has been to be more integral person. And I think it has been the motivation, my going here and there, I think. And I keep that as a goal. And it is my relationship with God is center, is the core of my life. And I want to grow. Continue growing spiritually.
Are there resources or businesses or organizations that you think people that you would like for people to know about that, that serve the Latino community?
That's okay.
Any that you would like to like point out? That serve the Latino community.
But the organization that you...
That you would like for people to know about.
Oh. Well, you know what? I believe the institution I represent, which mm-hmm. is the church, to me is so essential mm-hmm. for the transformation of our lives and communities. I can talk about other organizations mm-hmm. that provide services that mm-hmm. are wonderful, but it seems to me that the church is the place where people can become mm-hmm. more complete, more fulfilled, mm-hmm. more able to be what is they are meant to be.
Mm-hmm.
More free, more I think it is like a, let's say la materia prima.
Sí, sí.
To be positive, to be good for society, for yourself and for society. Uh-huh. Then I wish that people look for churches, for faith, for a relationship with God that make us better and more free.
Like spiritual health in a sense, or...
It is a spiritual health, but you know what? I believe that, at least in my understanding, and when I talk about being more integral, I believe that it's also emotional health.
Mm-hmm.
It is physical health.
Mm-hmm.
But they go together.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what I see to be more integral.
Mm-hmm.
In the sense of being healthier emotionally, not to be guided to things, you know, to
right.
be healed inside.
Right.
And there is a word that I love, it's shalom, which means peace.
Mm.
And it's the kind of peace that comes from God, you know, that it touches every aspect of our lives and make us better people for ourselves and for others.
Mm.
Then I believe that this is in the heart of what church is meant to be.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what I believe that Christ does for us.
Okay. You and I were talking earlier before the interview a little bit. We were kind of training about when we were young and having experienced poverty in a different place than here.
Mm.
A little bit about your childhood. Could you describe a little bit of what, I don't
sure.
know anything about your parents, what they did, okay. or
sure,
a little, just a little bit about that.
Yeah. Well, both my parents were born in the country, in Chile,
mm-hmm.
in small towns. They emigrated to Santiago when they were very young. When they were very young, came from very poor families themselves.
Large.
And
were they large families?
Large uh-huh. families, and my mother was her mother died when she was two. Then she was kind of very isolated child, I suppose. Then they went. They emigrated to the city, and they are really hard, like many immigrants who come here,
mm-hmm.
you know, serving and doing the most basic jobs. And then, they married, and we were four women. They were kind of advanced for their time, and I believe for their ambiente.
Class or group, or
yeah, scene. Because they always thought, they always instigated in us the idea of studying, going to college.
Mm.
You know, which they went to secondary school, was the third grade in secondary school. That was the highest that my parents reached. And actually as adults, because my father went to school even when I was in high school.
Mm-hmm.
And they gave us also as women, you know, this sense that women can do the same thing that every person can do. It's not women go to wash dishes and clothing for their lives.
Or become nuns. Or,
that's right. They were very interesting to me, not discriminated in mm-hmm. the sense that we were women, then we reached what they expected. Actually, the four of us are professionals, and we reached what it was a dream for our parents. Mm-hmm. Now we live in a very poor situation, but more than poor, I think it was my parents were so afraid of life because of their history. I think coming by themselves to the big city was so scary for them mm-hmm. that they were really afraid of life. In some way, they were kind of outcast in society.
Do you think that
I received a lot of that.
Do you mm-hmm. think that they had trauma? Like that
Absolutely.
Was trauma yeah. for them?
Trauma, I believe, yeah. I believe that they live with a deep trauma of being, when my mother was basically abandoned when she was so little mm-hmm. and abused later by a stepmother and so forth, alcoholic mm-hmm. stepmother. They grew up with that sense of abandonment and mm-hmm. fear, and they gave that to my sisters and I. But at the other side, there was this sense of hope, you know, that we can go farther than what they reached. Mm-hmm. And I suppose it was a lifesaver in some ways, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you, are your parents still living?
Yes, both of them.
Are they retired?
You know what? In Latin America, you don't retire. Uh-huh. And also, my parents my father was a shoemaker.
Ah.
Yeah, then it was always had his little store mm-hmm. or no factory. He was very modest in what he did. And then his work, tried to work. Mm-hmm. And my mother became, after years of helping my father, mm-hmm. they separated, actually. Mm-hmm. How do you say, comerciante?
Store
she
shop.
Started selling little things, and then she had a store mm-hmm. that
like
she
a
lost.
Vendor.
A vendor. And then she lost the store after mm-hmm. the coup, actually.
Mm.
Yeah, they lost all, my mother lost all the income because of that.
Mm-hmm. Do you and your sisters help support your parents now?
Now?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, you know, somehow. My parents are not working now, and they mm-hmm. They are not retired, and mm-hmm. they live for mm-hmm. with my sisters, actually.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know if there's a system in Chile too, if they have.
They get the kind of
pension
or something, mm-hmm. which is extremely modest.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you cannot live with that, actually. Mm-hmm. But they do get something, mm-hmm. yeah.
So would you say that you had a rough childhood, or?
I had a rough childhood, uh-huh. yeah. I don't know, rough. Yeah, actually, I can say rough, mm-hmm. yeah.
Was the neighborhood you grew up in, like what we would consider here, you know, what we call a ghetto or barrio with the...
You know what? It is interesting because I live in a neighborhood in Santiago mm-hmm. that was like all houses with the most poor people. Mm-hmm. But it was not the sense of ghetto.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But now when I look back, there was a lot of the symptoms of a ghetto.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for example, I remember a family next door who practiced prostitution.
Mm.
Then it was what you would say ghetto, but
right.
at the other side, it's just so different.
Right.
It was not that it were these houses, all houses, mm-hmm. solid, built solidly. And then it's not what you say, ghetto.
Mm-hmm.
I see ghetto more like a new, yeah,
uh-huh.
yeah. But with a lot of the symptoms of social illness.
Right,
you know, that
right.
Yeah.
The poverty, I mean, that
yeah,
poverty brings to community. Well, is there anything that you want to add? We're finished.
No, well, I want to thank you because this is wonderful. Also it is great to know you and talk with you.
I mean, this is like you were saying earlier, the privilege of being able to talk to people and share their stories, hear their stories.
Right.
You know, it's a privilege, and I feel like I grow every time, you know, in the way that I learn and I feel humility.
That's great,
you are
wonderful in this job.
Ciao.
Finished.
Ciao.